Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, where Paul is talking about what he prays for the Christians in Colossae. And he's listed various things. And then he says that these would be true of them. He says, "And giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So I've given it the title simply, From Darkness to Light. From Darkness to Light. As a child, I visited the famous caves in Cheddar Gorge in Somerset. And I still remember it. The guide took us along a walkway into the heart of the caves, you know, seeing the incredible stalactites and stalagmites. And then when we were in the heart of the cave, he briefly switched off the lights. I can still remember it vividly. It must be 50 years ago. The darkness was total. You could see nothing. Outside, even on a really dark night in the middle of a dark wood, when your eyes adjust to it, you can see something. You can see your hand in front of your face. But in that cave, you could see nothing. You could, I don't know if this is being overdramatic, you could almost feel the dark. And I found it horrible. It was such a relief when the guide switched the lights on again. We often use light, the imagery of light and dark, in this way. And it can be found in many places in the Bible, including the passage we're looking at tonight. You know, we talk, don't we, so often about things, someone being in a really dark place. And we all know what that means. We mean the presence of evil seems strong there. The Bible talks about that, about light and darkness. Paul talks in this passage about a kingdom of light and the dominion of darkness. But wonderfully, he talks about us being rescued from the dominion of darkness. Christianity is all about us being rescued from the darkness and brought into the light. So it's a wonderful theme in this passage. And I've got 4 points, all fairly brief, they get shorter as we go along, to sum up the message of these verses. Firstly, the thing that this passage tells us is that we are naturally ruled over by darkness. That's our natural state. Verse 13 talks about us being rescued from the dominion of darkness. That was the situation of the people receiving this letter before they became Christians. And there's nothing in the letter to suggest that they were uniquely evil people. They were just ordinary people in a very ordinary small town called Colossae in the middle of what we now know of as Turkey. Colossae was perhaps the place we come across in the New Testament that I reckon is most like Newtown. We are, after all, a very ordinary small town in the middle of Wales. But Paul doesn't just say you. There's points in these early verses where he talks about them, you. But here in verse 13, he says he's rescued us. In other words, what is true of those Christians in Colossae is true of all Christians everywhere at all times. We have been rescued, as he puts it there, from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And that is simply because the Bible tells us that we are all ruled over by darkness. To be ruled over by darkness is the natural state of every human being on this planet. Now, how come? Well, in that our first Bible reading, Paul was describing, as I said, to King Agrippa how he came to be a Christian missionary. And he explains how Jesus commissioned him. I'm sending you, this is Acts 26, 17 and 18, I am sending you to them, that's the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Our natural state is to be ruled over by darkness because our natural state is to be ruled over by Satan. Because this is the story the Bible teaches. God made a very good world, a perfect world, ruled by him. But he appointed the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and all their descendants, to be rulers over the world, but under him. We're all given that role. But the first man and woman didn't want to be rulers under God. They wanted to rule sort of independently without God. And so they disobeyed him. They were taken in by Satan, who deceived them into thinking that they would become like God, making decisions about what was right and wrong without God if they just went their own merry way. But the tragedy of it was that in disobeying God, they didn't succeed in becoming independent rulers. They only succeeded in becoming slaves to sin, servants of Satan. This is how John puts it in 1 John 5, verse 19. It's an absolutely stark verse. We know, he's talking to Christians, that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Years ago, 1979, I didn't realize it was that long ago, Bob Dylan wrote a famous song, Gotta Serve Somebody. And it started like this. I won't do an impersonation of Bob Dylan, that really would be fatal. It started like this, if we can have the words up. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. John Lennon, interestingly, who was still alive at that point, criticized the song and wrote a parody of it called Serve Yourself. But Bob Dylan was right, and John Lennon was wrong. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You see, if you ask the question, well, how do we see darkness? How do we see that our world is in the control of the evil one? Well, yes, of course we see it in things that nearly everybody would recognize as evil, in murder, in injustice, in oppression of the weak, of hatred of others purely because of the color of their skin, and so on. Most people would see those things as evil. But we also see it everywhere that people live in disobedience of God, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So we see disobedience, we see slavery to the devil in greed, in sexual immorality, in all forms of utterly selfish, self-centered living. People like to imagine that they are free, that they are serving themselves, as John Lennon put it. But the reality is that they're slaves. When people see in themselves something that even they recognize as dark and say, oh, I'll change it, I'll sort my life out, they soon discover that they aren't as free as they thought they were. We are naturally ruled over by darkness. There is real evil. There is real darkness. There is the spiritual equivalent of being in that cave with the light switched off. And it's terrifying. It's not a joke. It's not something to get children to laugh at it. Halloween. It's real, it's evil, it's powerful. But Colossians 1, 12 to 14 is good news, it's not bad news. And that brings us to the second point. Remember, they get shorter. Secondly, God can bring you into the light. All right, so we've seen, firstly, we're naturally ruled by the darkness, but God can bring you into the light. Verses 12 and 13, verse 12, who, speaking of the Father, has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The kingdom of the Son he loves is the kingdom of light. Actually, it's literally, the word kingdom isn't there in verse 12. It's literally inheritance of his holy people in the light. The kingdom of his Son is light. He brings us into a kingdom that is characterized by truth, not lies. That's characterized by love, not hate. That's characterized by justice, not injustice. That's characterized by compassion, not oppression. That's characterized by obedience to God, not disobedience to God. A kingdom, in short, where Jesus rules, not Satan. So what a wonderful truth that we can be set free, that we can be rescued, that we can be set free from that dominion of darkness, from being ruled over by Satan, and be brought into the light, brought into a kingdom ruled over by Jesus. So that our lives, instead of being like our father the devil, our lives are being transformed more and more into the likeness of the Son, into the likeness of Jesus. And that fruit of the Spirit that we're thinking about in midweeks over the summer can be seen more and more in our lives. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We still won't be perfect this side of heaven. We're still, as it were, chasing out the darkness out of the corners of our lives. But one day that perfect kingdom will come in all its fullness, and we too will be perfect. Peter describes that perfect kingdom in these ways, in this way, 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And John describes what we will be like in that new heavens and new earth. John 1 John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be like Jesus. And notice that this isn't something that we bring about by our own efforts. This is something that God does, giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We saw earlier that one of the most terrifying things about the spiritual darkness within us is when we realize we can't change it, that we can't rescue ourselves from it. But what you and I can't do for ourselves, God can do for us. He can rescue us. As I said, Paul is writing Christians in Colossae and very ordinary people in a very ordinary town, and he simply says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. It had been done. It had happened for those Christians in Colossae. It wasn't, well, he might do in the future. He's done it. And that is just as true for every Christian today. It's as true for every Christian in Newtown in 2021 as it was in Colossae around 60 AD when Paul wrote the letter. And that's wonderful news for us. Wonderful news for those children you've been sharing the good news with. Wonderful news for those who we're praying for to be saved. They can't rescue themselves. We can't rescue ourselves. We're not strong enough. Satan's more powerful than us. We're too weak in the face of the darkness. But God can rescue us. And many of us here can say, God has rescued me. I couldn't do anything about the darkness in that cave. I think that was the terrifying thing about it. I didn't know that the guide was going to switch the lights on again. I was only a little kid. But the guide could switch the lights on. I can't do about anything about the darkness in my own heart, but God can. And God, hallelujah, God has. But how does he do it? Thirdly, God rescues us by Jesus dying for our sins. Verse 12 tells us that the Father has qualified you. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And if we say, how does he qualify us? The answer is verse 14. And brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I just want to notice very, very briefly three things about that verse. Firstly, notice that we need redeeming, which is such an appropriate picture, isn't it? Because in the ancient world, The most common use of the language of redemption was applying to the transaction by which the price was paid for a slave to be released from their slavery. And that's what we need. We're slaves to Satan. We need releasing from that. The price has to be paid. Secondly, notice that the redemption requires the forgiveness of sins. It's very striking. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What's the connection between being set free from a power, redemption, and the forgiveness of sins? Well, the connection is this. It is because of our sin that Satan has power over us. He would have had no power over Adam and Eve if they hadn't sinned. To break the power of Satan, sins need to be forgiven. Dick Lucas, writing on this passage, says, "We ought not to speak of mere forgiveness as though this were but an initial blessing of the gospel. The gospel," I love this phrase, "the gospel is precisely the offer of freedom because of the forgiveness of sins. It's our sins being forgiven that means we're set free." And thirdly, notice about from this verse that this redemption, this forgiveness of sins, is in Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's all done by Jesus. It's all done by being connected to Jesus, being in Him. The way Jesus sets us free is by dying for our sins on the cross, personally paying the penalty for our sins, enduring God's just wrath against our sins in our place. And here's the news that the New Testament tells. We're connected with Him. So as He died, our old sinful self dies there. Our old condemned self, our old slave to sin self dies there with Him. And we rise with Him to new life, a life where He is our master, not sin, not slave, not the devil. So if you want to be rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, if you want to be set free from being ruled over by Satan, if you want to be set free from the grip of those habits and ways of thinking and patterns of life that are even beginning to disturb you, then you must come to Jesus and simply ask Him to forgive your sins. You must trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of sins. And as you come in humble reliance on Him alone for salvation, you will be forgiven. You will be redeemed by virtue of being forgiven. You'll be rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. In the Bible's thought, forgiveness, that picture of a debt and needing to be forgiven, merges with the picture of being in slavery and being need to be set free. As your sins are forgiven, you're redeemed, you are now ruled over by Jesus. It's a promise. And then what? As we close, how should we respond to this wonderful freedom that Jesus brings into our lives? Fourthly and finally and briefly, then live a life of joyful thankfulness to God. Verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. And then he spells out, because effectively he's done all this for you. He's rescued you. He's transferred you through his Son. You see, thankfulness has to be a mark of genuine Christian living, because everything we receive is a gift. If we'd paid to get out of the darkness, there'd be no reason to be thankful. If we'd worked hard to get out of the darkness into the light, there'd be no reason to be thankful. If we'd been very religious to get out of the darkness into the light, there'd be no reason to be thankful. It would all be our own achievement. But we haven't. It's totally and utterly a gift. What's more, a gift that in no way we deserve. It's not a gift to people who've been nice and good. It's a gift to the undeserving. And so, as Christians, every day we should be thanking God for His incredible gift. And that means we should also be filled with joy, joyfully giving thanks, because what we have received as a free gift is something altogether wonderful. altogether delightful, altogether precious. So what if we're in the middle of a pandemic? We live in the light. So what if we're struggling with ill health, maybe even facing death? We will live forever with Jesus in a perfect kingdom. So what if the people around us are hostile to our faith? Well, Jesus loves me and has died to redeem me, has adopted me into God's family. I'm no longer ruled over by Satan. Jesus is my king. Joy and thankfulness must be hallmarks of genuine Christianity. So I close. Have you been rescued and brought into the light? Then hallelujah. Praise God. Joyfully give thanks. If you're not, realize that the way to be set free, to be redeemed, to be rescued, is through coming to faith in Christ and asking him to forgive your sins. It's as God gives you that desire to cry out to Jesus for forgiveness that you are redeemed, set free. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work of redemption. Father, thank you that on this night when our society particularly celebrates evil, Father, thank you that by your grace we've been brought into the light. Lord, give us cause to rejoice in this and to every day thank you for your wonderful work of redemption, your wonderful work of rescue. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.